Welcome to the Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Hyatt. Hey, I'm so glad you joined me again today. And today we're continuing along in our theme. And yesterday we were talking about the role of civil government and the role it has played in the mess in Afghanistan. Today my theme is I'm going to talk about the church and Caesar. Or we could say how the church is to relate to civil government. This has come to the forefront as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, because governments, local, city, state, even federal governments, we know last year, 2020, the whole country was locked down, and then cities and mayors and governors, they also issued lockdowns and mandates. And the reason this became an issue for churches is because in many situations, in different cities, in different places, liquor stores, abortion clinics were declared to offer essential services and allowed to remain open, while churches were said to be unessential and they were ordered to close. But was this constitutional? Because in our U.S. Constitution, we have freedom of religion. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law concerning the establishment of religion, nor hindering the free exercise thereof. Congress shall make no law hindering, that is the civil authority, shall make no law hindering the free exercise of religion. And by the way, there are a number of churches filed lawsuits, while some just complied and went along with it. Some filed lawsuits and have won their cases based on the constitutional guarantees. Because remember, as American citizens, now, as Christians, our ultimate authority that we are submitted to is God. We identify with Peter and John and the apostles when they were ordered by the Jewish authorities in Jerusalem to stop preaching and to not even mention the name of Jesus. And they refused to do so. They continued to preach, and they were arrested a second time. And they were wanted to know, the authority wanted, why haven't you obeyed our gag order? Why have you continued to preach and teach in the name of Jesus? And Peter and John answered, we ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to obey God rather than man. So God is our ultimate authority to whom we are submitted. Now, in many cases, let me back up. Here's what I want to say. Our ultimate authority then as American citizens then, as Christians, our ultimate authority is God. As American citizens, our ultimate authority is not the president, it's not a governor, it's not a mayor, it's the United States Constitution. The U.S. Constitution is the supreme ruling authority in our nation. And so, actually what these pastors and churches did, they were appealing to the ultimate civil authority in America, the U.S. Constitution. And I think in just about, there may have been some exceptions, but just about in every case, they won their case against the local and federal governments seeking to close them down on the excuse of, you know, necessary for safety and for protection. And so how are we to relate? So this all raised the question, what responsibility does the church have with the civil authority, and how far should we go in complying with the civil authority? Well, Jesus, he addressed this, and it came forth in questions that were asked of him. And one of these conversations is recorded in Luke chapter 20, verses 20 through 26, where the chief priests and scribes sent spies to try and entrap Jesus in his words. These spies came with a gotcha question that they believed would get Jesus in trouble no matter how he answered. An example of a gotcha question is, have you stopped beating your wife? Have you stopped beating your wife? Well, whether you answer yes or no, you admit that you are now, or you have been, a wife beater. So that's a gotcha question. Well, they felt they had a gotcha question. And so these spies came, and they're coming from the Jewish authorities who are seeking to entrap Jesus because they want to get rid of him. After addressing Jesus with insincere flatteries, saying something like, "Oh, teacher, we know that you don't try to please anybody, but you teach the word of God in truth," then they pose their gotcha question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? That's their gotcha question. Now, the dilemma inherent in this question is the fact that the Jewish people detested paying taxes to a foreign and pagan ruler because they are living under the authority of Rome. Now, Rome has allowed them a lot of local freedom and government and self-government, but Rome is requiring that they pay taxes to Rome, and Rome has stationed Roman soldiers in Israel, in different cities, there in Jerusalem. They have placed a Roman governor there at the time of Jesus. His name is Pontius Pilate. And so they have placed their soldiers and their governor and their authorities there to make sure that ultimately the Jews remain in submission to Rome and to Caesar, and that they, most of all, that they pay their taxes. And so they will let them have their synagogues, they will let them have their Sanhedrin, they'll let them have their Jewish temple with the sacrifices, as long as they recognize that Caesar and Rome is the ultimate authority and they pay taxes to Rome. Now, you can imagine, the Jews detested paying taxes to Rome. They did it only because they had to, because Rome was the most powerful military force in the world at that time. So the dilemma in this question is that if Jesus answers yes, he will lose the support and respect of the Jewish people, and his opponents will immediately accuse him of being a collaborator with Rome, a collaborator with this foreign, pagan, oppressive power. On the other hand, if he answers no, we shouldn't pay taxes to Rome, his opponents will immediately report him to the Roman authorities as a troublemaker and an insurrectionist who is teaching the masses to not pay their taxes to Caesar. In the natural, it seemed there was no good way to answer this question. Jesus, however, lived and moved in the wisdom of God. We too should look to God for his wisdom. For there is no question for which he does not have the answer, and no problem for which he does not have the solution. And God, in his wisdom, had an answer for this gotcha question. After rebuking his questioners for their hypocrisy, Jesus asked for a denarius, which was a coin minted in Rome that was required for paying taxes to Rome. So after someone handed him one of these coins that was minted in Rome, he held it up for all to see and asked, "Whose image and inscription does it have?" They answered, "Caesar's." Yeah, it was minted in Rome and it had the Roman emperor's image on it. And this was the coinage that was required by Rome for the Jews to use in paying their taxes. If they had to, they would have to take their Jewish coinage, their shekels or whatever, and have them turned in to Roman coinage to pay their taxes. So Jesus says, "Whose image and inscription does it have?" They answered, "Caesar's." Jesus replied, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Now this was an amazingly profound answer, and Luke says that everyone marveled at his answer. Why did they marvel? You know, and the spies departed, dejected and embarrassed that they had been unable to entrap him in his words. Now, listen, the genius of his answer is that Jesus compared the image of Caesar that was stamped on the coin to the image of God that Genesis 1:26 says is stamped on the human soul. These were Jews. This is a Jewish audience he's talking to. They attend the synagogue regularly. And a central part of the synagogue service was the reading of the scriptures. And so no doubt they had heard that passage read many times in Genesis 1:26 where it says, "Then God said, let us make man," and that means mankind, "in our image and according to our likeness." Wow. And so when Jesus said, "Hey, whose image does this coin have on it?" They said, "Well, it's got Caesar's on it." Okay, then whatever, render to Caesar's what is Caesar's, but you render to God what is God's. And here's what they heard. You have God's image stamped on you. You give yourself to God. Okay, so that's got Caesar's image on it. Give it to Caesar. But you give yourself to God because he has stamped his image on you. Wow. That is why they marveled at the answer. So, by this answer, Jesus confirmed the Jewish obligation of a total commitment to God without putting that commitment in immediate conflict with Caesar and Rome. You know, I have thought about the Black Lives Matter movement. And that if I come across somebody with a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, I want to ask them, based on what we're talking about right now, do you know why Black Lives Matter? And then my answer would be, because you were made in the image and likeness of your Creator. And because you were made in His image and likeness, you need to give yourself to Him. And that's what, that was the genius of Jesus' statement. Yeah, that coin's got Caesar's image on it. Go ahead and give it to him. But you've got God's image stamped on your being. And so you need to give yourself to him. Wow, what an answer. What an incredible answer. I'm reading today from my latest book, To Comply or Not to Comply. It's not available just yet, but it should be available by the end of the week on my website, eddiehyatt.com, and also from Amazon. The name of the book is To Comply or Not to Comply. The subtitle is A Christian Guide to Government Lockdowns, Mandates, Church Closures, and Other Forms of Tyranny. Can I pray with you? Father, I thank you for every person listening to this podcast. I pray today, Lord, that they will open their eyes and realize that they were made in your image and likeness. And therefore, they have a responsibility and an obligation to you to give themselves back to you in whose image they were created. May this happen all over the world. May it spread like wildfire, that people will realize they didn't just evolve from lower forms of life, which would mean that they are meaningless and have no real value. No, they were made in the image and likeness of Almighty God, the Creator. And may this understanding spread, Lord, like wildfire, and people will return back to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm Eddie Hyatt. Thank you for joining me today. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for another episode of the Awakening Podcast.